Hey, good morning. Can you believe it? Here we are in 2022. Unbelievable. How many of you would like to forget 2021? Anybody? Yeah, I mean, if we're honest, though, 2021 had some moments. There were some good moments. There were some challenging moments. And, you know, this morning I could spend a lot of time kind of reviewing what's happened in 2021, national events, local happenings, even recent church developments that have kind of rocked our world and changed our future. But the truth is, I don't want to look back today. I think it's time that we start to look forward. And so in looking forward, Paul said this in Philippians. He said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead." And so this morning, today, what I want to do is I want to renew our focus, and I want to revisit something that we talked about just a few years ago at New Year. And I want to look at two simple verses that are foundational to not only who we are, but what we do and how we move forward, how we respond to God. But let's first pray. Father, thank you. I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds. Father, that you'd give us wisdom, and that, Father, you'd help us to be not only hearers of your word, but doers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, both these verses are very similar and very common to us as Christ followers, but here's what it says. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So here's the question, and here's the challenge for us this morning. As we look into this new year, what I'm going to ask you to do is to take a look at those verses, not just read them, reread them, meditate on them, but even more than that, begin to put them into practice. Begin to use those in your daily lives. But let me give you a little advice, because I know, at least as far as I am concerned, I can be somewhat of a slow learner. But the truth is, if we're honest, so are you. And how do I know that? Because we all have this thing called flesh, right? I mean, Matthew, his gospel tells us in chapter 26, and Mark's gospel repeats it in chapter 14, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So my advice is, as we look at this fruit of the Spirit, that we don't try to perfect all of that spirit all at once, but instead that we look at and hone in maybe on one or two of those throughout this next year. So begin to ask yourself, and ask yourself throughout the year, how am I doing as far as my loving goes? How am I doing as far as my joyfulness? How can I become more patient and more peaceful? How can I do that? And so as we look at this new year, here's what I would say. All of us have probably already made some resolutions. Honestly, probably some of us have already broken some of those resolutions, right? 2 days in, I mean, diet's already gone by the wayside. I know, because I had a donut hole this morning. But anyway, as we walk into this new year, I can't think of anything better than to resolve as a Christ follower that I'm going to become more loving, or I'm going to become more joyful, or I'm going to exercise more self-control, especially when it comes to this world that we live in today. And I love what Dallas Willard said, because Dallas Willard said this. He said, "The most important thing about you is not the things that you achieve, it is the person that you become." And the truth is, all of us are becoming. Now, if you're a Christ follower, then you had that, what I call, before Christ moment in your life. That's when Christ came into play. That's when you recognized who Jesus was, which then led you to that moment of belief. You began to believe in Christ, that moment where you put and you recognized that what Christ did on the cross, he was the one that paid the atonement for your sin. And so you began that belief moment. But once you believe, then we have what we call that becoming moment. Because Romans chapter 8 says that once we believe in Christ, that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives, and he wants us to become more mature and more Christ-like. And so that's what the Spirit of God longs to do in our lives. Once you belong, or once you believe, he wants you to become. He wants you to become that Christian that he's designed you to be. You see, before Christ, we had that moment of conviction. Then we had that moment of belief. We accepted Christ. But once we've done that, we have that moment of becoming. But the truth is, it's not a single moment. It's something that's ongoing throughout our lives. It's something that we continue to do as we move through our daily walk with Jesus. And so you are always becoming. You should always be growing. The Spirit of God wants to see your life grow and become more Christ-like. He wants us to develop and mature the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. So here's what we have to realize. We have to realize that the only way we can mature and grow in the spirit of the fruit is this. We have to abide in Christ. You see, we have to, in order for us to bring forth this godly fruit, this godly character, we have to abide in him. So how are we doing with our abiding today? How are we doing with that? You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit we're not really doing it perfectly. We all have some growing to do. So what I hope to do this morning is to take a little deeper look at the fruit of the Spirit, see what it looks like, see what it does, and how we mature that within our lives. Because the truth is, the fruit of the Spirit is something that comes from God. It's something that we already have, but we have to resolve to grow it and to mature it within our lives. So there's some things you need to understand about the fruit of the Spirit. As I say, one of them is that it does come from God. It's not some moral code that we try to live by. It's not something that is a one-time deal that we receive. Certainly it comes from God. Certainly the fruit is there, but the truth is we're not suddenly going to produce perfect fruit simply because we're Christian. The other thing I want to tell you is that the fruit of the Spirit is not some type of behavioral modification. No, it matures and grows under the direction of the Holy Spirit as we move and we mature in Christ. And I got to tell you, maturing takes time. It takes time. Now, this Christmas, I've got a little 6-year-old granddaughter. My daughter and her husband live in Collierville, and so we went over there for Christmas morning. And I know all before Christmas, all I kept hearing her say is, you know, we'd ask, what do you want for Christmas? I want a guitar. Oh, okay, a 6-year-old with a guitar. Okay, sounds good. So, you know, and a week would go by, what do you want for Christmas? I want a guitar. And she continued to do this. Now, this little girl, believe it or not, she's an unbelievable songwriter. She writes songs all the time. She loves to sing, but she wanted to get this guitar. So guess what? Her parents got her for Christmas. I'm sorry, Santa got her for Christmas. A guitar, a little pink 3-string guitar. I never saw one before, but what was amazing about this little guitar is when she opened it, she was so excited. So all the rest of the day, you know what she did? Even with that guitar being out of tune, she strummed it all day, just all day. And I'm like, I'm so sick of hearing this guitar. I mean, it was really pretty maddening. But what she realized was, as she was playing this, it wasn't exactly perfect. Matter of fact, it didn't even sound very good. So you know what this little girl did? She began to Google how to play chords on the guitar. It was amazing. She was up in a room, everybody's, where is she? What's she doing? And she had this little book that came with the guitar. It showed her some of the way to place her fingers. But she Googled on how to play these chords on this little 3-string guitar. And so she comes downstairs and she says, I want to give you a concert. And we're like, okay. And she did. She was placing her fingers. She was making different noises. She realized when she did that, the different sounds would come out of the guitar. Now, listen, she's not perfect. She's not perfect. She's no Van Halen, I'll tell you that. But she actually got better. And ever since Christmas, she has continued to play that guitar, continued to look at YouTube to understand how to play it better. And she's asked for her birthday, which is coming up February 1st. She wants to get guitar lessons. Now, what's the point of that story? See, the same thing happens with our spiritual life. When we begin to practice, when we begin to get intentional, when we begin to get serious, we begin to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We begin to mature in the fruit of the Spirit. It becomes more evident in our lives. Just as this little girl is getting better on this guitar, she'll continue to grow in that ability all throughout her life. So today, as we enter into this beginning of a new year, ask yourself, how are you doing in growing and maturing the fruit of the Spirit within your life? Maybe you'll realize that you've got some work to do. And if you do, then focus on it. If maybe you realize, I'm not as loving as I should be, practice, become more loving. Maybe you're not as patient. I know that's one on my list. Then practice being a little more patient. See, what I've learned about the Spirit of God is that when I begin to hone in on the fruit of the Spirit and begin to allow God to work in my heart and life, I can recognize the areas of growth that I need to have, and God will actually work and do that work with and for me so that I become more Christ-like. But here's the truth. You have to resolve to grow in your faith. You have to resolve to grow that fruit. Just like that little girl resolved that she was going to become a guitar player, we too have to resolve that we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives. See, the fruit's there. I mean, it's there. God has given it to us. But you have to make the choice to allow it to grow in your life. And Jesus makes it very, very clear. As a matter of fact, I love John chapter 15 because what Jesus does in that chapter, he tells us a little bit about the fruit. He tells us a little bit about how it works and how it grows and matures. So let's look at that together. Here's what Jesus said in 15 verse 1. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear fruit. More fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, let me just dig into that just a little bit, maybe give you a little explanation what Jesus is saying. He's saying, first of all, that fruit comes from the vine. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the vine, but it grows on the branch. See, in order for that fruit to mature and grow, then the branch has to be connected to the vine. It has to be connected. In this story, Jesus, in this illustrations, he is telling us that he is the vine. He tells us we are the branches. See, you and I are the branches that are connected to the vine of Christ. So in order for fruit to grow, it grows on the branches, but it's pretty simple. For it to grow, the branch has to be connected or we have to abide in Christ. So you understand that the branch being us, we are the ones that are the conduits for the nutrients from the vine, which is Jesus, to produce fruit that grows out and within us. See, the health of the fruit will be determined by the health of the branch, and it'll also be determined by how that branch is attached to the vine. So the question is, how do I do that? How do I stay connected to Christ? Now listen, we've all heard spiritual disciplines all throughout our Christian life, and they sound simple, but they take some intentionality. But the three things we need to focus on is, number one, time in God's word. We have to do that. We have to also look at time in God's presence. And thirdly, we have to take time with other believers. You see, here's the truth. The more time that you and I spend in God's word, the more sensitive that we become to the things that the Lord wants to grow in our lives, the things he wants to mature in us, the things he also wants us to stay away from. We'll become more aware of temptations in our life. You become more of where God is when it relates to your trials and the circumstances of your life. You become more of the fruit that he longs to grow and mature in your life. And I'm telling you, it really doesn't take a lot of time. Now, some of you might be saying, time, are you kidding me? I don't have time, Alan. You don't understand. I'm chasing my kids here and there. I've got to take them all around the town. I've got to do all these things. My work schedule is crazy. I have all these obligations. I have all these responsibilities. I just don't have time. Well, that's why you need to spend time with God. That's why time is so critical with him, because when you start spending time with God, it actually provides and produces more time so that you can prioritize and set boundaries in your life. You can separate those things that are not that are time suckers and those things that are valuable for your time. And I got to be honest with you. My time in the Word each day is not volumes of time, but it is intentional. Now, for me, I'm a morning guy. I spend time in the Word in the morning. But it doesn't really matter the time when you do it, but it does matter that you are spending time in the Word. Let me give you a little tidbit. I've shared this with you before. Do you realize by simply reading 4 chapters of the Bible every day, you can read the entire Bible in under a year? It's pretty amazing. 4 chapters a day. So we've got to spend time in God's Word. The second thing, though, is we've got to spend time in God's presence. Taking intentional time to pray. What are you praying for these days? Who are you praying for? How's prayer becoming part of who you are? But let me tell you, praying is not just speaking to God, it's also listening to God. You got to listen to what the promptings of the Holy Spirit are telling you. You see, my definition of a disciple is pretty simple. It's someone who hears and obeys God. So we have to take time with God, not only talking to him, but also listening to him so he can tell us and prompt us in maturing that fruit that he wants to grow within us. The third thing is time with others. I mean, it's so important. You are designed to be in community. Do you realize that? You are designed to be in community of Christ followers, where you can speak into others' life and also where others can speak into your life. It's critical for us. We have to stay connected. That's why we as a church are so passionate about corporate worship. Now listen, I know there's people that have to be out right now because of COVID and immune compromise, those kind of things. But the reality is there's so much you gain by being together with other believers. But it's more than corporate worship. It's breaking it down to smaller groups, being part of a small group, maybe a Sunday school class. We have a great opportunity coming up in the end of January on the 23rd. Epic will be providing Bible studies for adults during that time. Get involved. Be connected. It's important that you're part of a group. Listen, here's what I would tell you. Get started wherever you are. If you're not reading the Bible now, just start. Start where you are. If you're not spending a lot of time in prayer, start praying. Just do it. If you're not connected to a group right now, resolve in 2022 that you'll do that. See, we have to create space for Christ in our life so that he can cultivate the fruit within us. Now, here's the one thing, though, I want you to understand. In order for the fruit to grow, in order for God to be able to work the fruit and mature the fruit, you have to resolve to allow that Spirit to grow the fruit within you. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is the primary way that people will show the spiritual nature of who we are. Do you know that Matthew 7 tells us that people will recognize us by our fruit? As a believer, that's how they recognize us. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is working within you, the fruit is maturing and growing, people take notice. It's not only for them to take notice of, but it's also for them to experience and to take even see the work of Christ around and within them. And I want to tell you a story. I've told you this story in the past, but back in the 1960s in Louisiana, the civil rights movement was well underway, and schools were trying to establish desegregation. For some of you, you may remember that. But back in New Orleans, there was this little six-year-old girl by the name of Ruby Bridges. Now, Ruby was one of four black students that were chosen to go into an all-white elementary school. But Ruby was actually the only one that made it into that school. And every day that she walked into that school, she was escorted by four U.S. Marshals. Can you imagine? And the reason she was escorted is because as she walked through that crowd, people would yell at her. Yell obscenities, yell things at her that I can't even repeat this morning in church. There was so much anger, there was so much hatred that parents refused to have their kids in the same classroom, let alone the same school with little Ruby. So they were taking their kids out of school. So the school had a decision to make. They decided that the way they were going to handle this, they were going to hire a special teacher for Ruby. Unbelievable, right? They're talking about desegregation, but they segregated her all by herself in a separate classroom with her very own teacher. So they brought this teacher in from Botts, and her name was Barbara Henry. I don't have time to go into her story this morning, but I want to tell you that she was the only one that would teach Ruby during this time. Now, as she was interviewing for this position, the principal told her that little Ruby was a black girl, and he asked her if she had a problem with that. And Miss Henry was a little bit offended by the question when she said, you know, listen, everybody has value. It doesn't matter their color of their skin or their ethnic background. And so Barbara Henry was the lone teacher for Ruby. She taught her day after day, and she began to teach her the things of school during that year. So day after day, Ruby would come to school being escorted by these four U.S. Marshals. But as she was walking through this crowd, Barbara Henry noticed that she was always mouthing something as she's walking through the crowd. And so one day, Barbara asked her, she said, hey, Ruby, I noticed when you come through that crowd, when the people are yelling at you, that you're saying something back to them. Do you mind if I ask you what you're saying? She said, sure. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying. Well, it kind of took Miss Henry back a little bit, and she said, wait a minute, you're praying. What are you praying for? And little Ruby said, I'm praying for them. She said, I'm praying a prayer something like this. Please, God, try to forgive those people, because even if they say those bad things, they don't know what they're doing. So you can forgive them just like you did those folks a long time ago when they said bad things about you. Wow. Little Ruby Bridges. Don't miss this. This six-year-old girl, during this time of conflict, of confusion, of trials in her life, she was taking this time to to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in her life. And it changed her, as well as those that were closest to her. And I'm going to tell you, it'll do the same thing for you. It'll change you. It'll change those around you. So here's the thing. Even though you're wanting to grow the fruit of the Spirit, there's something you have to understand. If you know anything about things like grape or trees, which I don't know a lot about, I had to read a little bit up on this, but they have to be pruned. And so you and I understanding if we want to produce good fruit, you and I have to be pruned when we have to allow God to prune our lives. John 15:2 says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Listen, I've learned that when a vintner prunes a tree, what he's doing is he's actually preparing it to produce a more abundant harvest in the coming season. So what he does is he takes a look at the vine. He sees the vine where he needs, there are some good branches that need to be trimmed, that need to be pruned. So he cuts even some of the good branches down. Why? So they'll produce even more fruit. But he also cuts off dead branches from the vine. He also cuts off things that are called suckers. These branches are branches that will suck the life out of the vine so the other branches are not able to produce fruit. So what he does? He prunes. And the truth is, none of us want to be pruned. We don't like it. You see, when God is pruning in our lives, it's not fun. And what he does is he'll use conviction to prune, or he'll use life circumstances or challenges or trials or disciplines to cut off those dead things from our life and to cut those suckers from our lives that are sucking out the things that prohibit fruit from growing within us. Why does he do that? Because he wants us to have an abundant life. He wants good fruit to grow within us. So this brings me to the next point. In order for that to happen, we have to resolve to stay in step with the Spirit of God. You see, to understand the context of what Paul was talking about when he gave us the fruit of the Spirit, we actually have to back up a little bit in Galatians to see what he's saying. So we're going to look at Galatians 16 through 22 real quickly. And it says in verse 16, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You see, the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to each other. The Bible tells us that our flesh wars with the Spirit. So the reason that is we just can't do everything we want to do because we are at war with the Spirit. We have to be able to set boundaries so that fruit can grow. Verse 18 says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, there's grace there. Notice the grace that we see there. But verse 19 continues, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand what we're reading here? I mean, our flesh will prohibit us from experiencing and realizing the fullness of the kingdom of God. In verse 22, then it goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who believe, who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What I want you to notice here, as Paul is going through this, he's given us two lists. He's given us a list of the flesh, and he's giving us a list of the Spirit. And the truth is that the flesh list is a lot longer than that of the fruit list. Unfortunately, the flesh list is natural to us. We don't have to work on that. That's something that comes natural to us. But when you look at the fruit list, this is the one that's unnatural. It's supernatural. It's the things that come from God. It takes time. It takes work. It takes intentionality. We have to work on these. We have to spend time with God so that these can be developed and nurtured and grow in our lives. And the real issue is this. Are we going to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, or are we going to fulfill the lust of the flesh? We have that choice, which leads me to this one last promise, and that's this, that when we live a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit, it's a life of promise. But if we live within our flesh, it can bring disastrous consequences. And it all centers around one simple word, and that word is abide or remain. You see, as we abide in Christ, as we remain in his word, as we abide in his presence, we can say things like this: Lord, help me to become more loving, more joyful, more patient, more kind. You see, we all need to grow these areas of the Spirit of God. We have to be intentional. If the fruit of the Spirit is going to mature in us, we have to make that choice to help it grow. You see, the more we allow the Spirit of God to reign in our life, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more the fruit will become evident and matured in our lives. But are you only letting God into certain areas of your life? I mean, there are certain areas of our life we want to give over to him, say, yes, you can have this, but there's certain times in our lives where we're saying, no, God, I want to keep this from you. So my challenge this morning is, if you want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life, are you willing to open up your entire life to him to work on? You see, that means that we've got to open up some areas of our life that might be painful, some areas of our lives that are broken, some areas of our life that we want control of, some areas that are sloppy and messy. And I think if we're all truthful, we'd say there are some sloppy, messy areas in our life that we need God to clean up. So here's the last thing I want to tell you. As I grow in Christ, as you grow in Christ, as we grow in this fruit of the Spirit, it's become even more evident to those that are around us, the ones that are closest to you. They'll see and experience that fruit. If we make the choice to do the hard work of opening up the rooms of our heart to allow the Spirit of God to grow and mature the Spirit within us, guess what? You're going to change. But here's the truth. Not only are you going to change, you'll find that your family will change. Those around you will change. You'll also see that our church will change. Our local area is going to change. And even across our city and our world can change. You see, if you do the hard work, you'll find yourself more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more kind, more patient, more good, more faithful. You'll be more gentle, and you'll be able to exercise more self-control. The bottom line is this: do we want to allow the Holy Spirit to produce and mature fruit within us? Does everybody want to produce good fruit? That's our challenge for this year. Let's produce the fruit of the Spirit so that we might be able to be seen all around, that people can see us and know that we are Christ followers, and that we have something special, something good, so they can come and see and taste that God is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the fruit that you give us and the fruit of the Spirit. Father, help us to do the work that we need to do so that you can do your work to cultivate and grow and mature the fruit so that we might be more Christ-like, so that we might be more evident to those around us, so that we might be able to see change not only in us, but in our church and around our world. Father, we trust you and we love you. We ask this all through Jesus. Amen.